was that so skilled, but it was a bit scary because to me it looks like the rules could have been reversed originally, where it looked like Holland was going to take that shot, but instead it looks like they flipped it over because they put the midfielder Caleb Pearson there. He was able to just rip that one past the goal to tie the game at 8 or 7.
You just summed it up perfectly, because again, Holland on the right side,
that's his bread and butter.
Exactly. Fooled everybody. Said, okay, you're taking it. So knowing when to pass and when to shoot, it's always a big problem in any sport, but Sewell's got it right this time. Matsuoka, loose ball at the faceoff. Sewell's got it again with 17 seconds.
After such a dominant first two, I know it's really been cold the last five faceoffs. It's been all Stony Brook. Let's see if they can add one more with 10 seconds on the clock.
He gets it to Hahn on the right side. Hahn gives it back to Matsuoka. Matsuoka loses it with 2 seconds, but that's going to be any time for St. John's getting going, so we go into halftime all even. 7-7 your score. And we'll do a few stats here because
Matt, even though
the score is tied, the stats are far from even. Sometimes you do have a game like that where they play pretty even. No.
And I know exactly where you're going, and you're right. It's the shot attempts. We've
Absolutely.
Seen St. John's take double the amount of shots Stony Brook has, nearly 30-16. Both teams still 7 goals. 6 of Stony Brook's shots, or goals, impressively enough, have been unassisted, while 3 have been for St. John. Don't forget, both had a penalty, and Stony Brook has won 7 faceoffs, but St. John's dominated much of the first with 9.
Now, here's something that carries over from last year and recent years in general under Jim Nagel. Shots on goal versus overall shots. St. John's, 30-16 on goal. Stony Brook, 16-14 on goal. That tells you everything you need to know right there. St. John's on the extra man. They scored on their own lone opportunities. Sewells haven't had one yet. On ground balls, Stony Brook, slight edge, 17-15. Saves, Bollinger with 9, and Agris with 7. The clears, St. John's failed to clear once, 12-13. Seawolves cleared all 11 of their attempts. The faceoffs, much more balanced than the first quarter. 9-16, St. John's, obviously, the Seawolves got the remaining 7. That's very close, considering how dominant St. John's was against Rutgers, 80%. The turnovers, we know about Stony Brook with 8 turnovers, but they cut it down significantly from the first quarter because most of those did come in the first quarter. And turnovers, 5 for Stony Brook, so they only had 3 in the second. And while St. John's had only 2, much more balance, much less of a factor, I think, too. Caused turnovers, St. John's 6-4, but again, most of that happened in the first quarter. So there you go. One unbalanced stat, and the rest reasonably close. So, we're going to send it back to Zach Wilson for about 7 minutes or so, and then we'll return with third quarter action here at Laval Stadium. Matt Mankiewicz, Ken Furman, bring you all the action. Your score at the half. Stony Brook 7, St. John's 7. On the longtime home for Sewells Athletics, WUSB Stony Brook.
Thank you, Matt. Well, well, well. It looks like we have a second straight day of Stony Brook lacrosse action, where both teams go into the locker room tied up at 7 apiece. Who knows what the second half will bring? We saw what happened yesterday. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. With Stony Brook women's lacrosse, they started off their season at the Carrier Dome. Me and Jim Fershlin traveled through the thick and thin, being able to give you the best of what Stony Brook women's lacrosse had to offer, and the end result was pure perfection, nothing like we've ever seen before. First half also was also knotted up at 7 apiece. Then, as Stony Brook was up by as much as 1, some part into the second half, they went on an incredible scoring run, posting 6 straight goals, and in that span was freshman Caitlin Hart putting up a huge goal, a backhanded goal that made SportsCenter top 10 last night. It was put in at number 4. As Stony Brook was able to hold off a late surge attempt by the Syracuse Orange, in which they defeated them 17-16. This was the third all-time matchup between Stony Brook and the Orange, but the Seawolves, in their first regular season matchup against Syracuse, was able to take them down this time, as the last two Syracuse was responsible for, and they were both in the NCAA tournament, as the women's lacrosse team will head back home this Saturday to begin their first home game of the season against the Ohio State Buckeyes of the Big Ten. We'll also get talking about with more Stony Brook action going on with the men's basketball team. Coming off a loss against New Hampshire, they got their game tomorrow night. They'll be at Binghamton to try and take back a win against the Bearcats after Binghamton shocked them a few weeks ago at the IFC Arena. However, the Seawolves will have to trot along for a few weeks without Elijah Olenai, who sustained a high ankle sprain against the Wildcats in that loss on Saturday. May have been the benefit of that right there. Almost looked like that could have been a season-ending injury. But for the benefit of the doubt, as I said right there, Elijah could be back, but can Stony Brook be in a position when he comes back in which they can make a run? We'll find out, especially if they can somehow be able to get past Sam Sessoms tomorrow. While that game is going on tomorrow at 6:30, I'll be on call with Jim Firstlin for the women's basketball game on their Pink Night, as they will host Kai Moon and the Binghamton Bearcats. Another huge America East battle going on, and it looks like according to the standings, should Stony Brook win this game, they'll probably be able to host a semifinal game. They've already clinched a home game in the quarterfinal round, and should they be able to win against Binghamton to own a series against them, and probably see who will be out who between UMass Lowell and Maine. I mean, it's going to be an interesting situation to see how it plays out. But we'll see what happens with that. As we've seen what women's basketball has been capable of this season, it's been amazing to see what they have done. So with that, with Stony Brook going on, we're going on with scores and updates from everywhere else. Starting with men's lacrosse, as I said, Stony Brook St. John's won the only two games that's happening, and apparently that's the last game going on right now, as the other game just went final between Hampton and Bellarmine, as Bellarmine got the edge of Hampton 21-5. In women's lacrosse land, New Hampshire posted a win against Merrimack 15-9, and right now at halftime, UMBC up at hosting Lehigh, where the Lehigh has a 10-4 lead against them after the first half. Stony Brook and Syracuse women's lacrosse was the only game that happened yesterday in women's lacrosse. So with that, we will get going with other scores, which is college basketball, as I talked about earlier before, with some scores that are going to be happening soon. In less than half an hour, we got 13th-ranked Penn State, who's been making a huge jump in the top 25 this season in the rankings. They will be going up to West Lafayette tonight to take on the Purdue Boilermakers, while 12th-ranked Kentucky tries to get something going. They are not in first place right now in the SEC. LSU and Auburn, the ones who are trying to threaten it, as they will take on the Vanderbilt Commodores. Only one win in the SEC this season, and that was against LSU. What a huge SEC win for Vanderbilt. Hasn't gotten one in a very long time. Then at 7:30, you got 6th-ranked Dayton hosting the Rhode Island Rams, and that is a very huge battle in the A-10. Dayton has yet to lose a game in the conference. Rhode Island has only suffered one loss so far in A-10 battle. Winner of this one will be holding sole possession of first place. Game happening at Dayton, Ohio at 7:30 p.m. on CBS Sports Network. Then at 8:30 p.m., another Big Ten battle going on. We got the 9th-ranked Maryland Terrapins hosting Nebraska Cornhuskers. Maryland, one of the better teams in the Big Ten right now. Probably the highest ranked so far in the Big Ten. Happening at College Park, Maryland tonight on the Big Ten Network. Then at 9 p.m. on ESPN at State Farm Center, 22nd Illinois will be hosting the Michigan State Spartans. Michigan State out of top 25. There hasn't been a team that started the season ranked number one in the country and then falling out of the top 25 since that's happened to Kentucky in the 2013-14 season. And I believe that season was when Kentucky didn't even go to the NCAA tournament. One of the down years that the Wildcats have had under John Calipari. Then also at 9 p.m., another SEC battle going on the SEC Network, where 25th-ranked LSU, after hitting hard last week with losses against Auburn and Vanderbilt, will try to rebound by taking on Missouri at Baton Rouge. Then at 11 p.m., you got another Mountain West battle going on, where 4th-ranked San Diego State, making a huge push. One of the only teams right now in the college basketball who is undefeated. I believe they're the only team left undefeated. They'll be taking on New Mexico, trying to stay on top in first place in the Mountain West. Not really any major women's basketball games going on today, as there isn't any ranked teams going on, but there will be tomorrow. However, yesterday, there were two ranked games that happened. One of them was a huge top five battle that happened at the at South Carolina, where the Gamecocks hosted the UConn Huskies. Huskies got the better of South Carolina last season, but this season, after South Carolina only allowed 2 points in the first half against UConn, was able to outshine the Huskies 70-52. Three losses now for the Huskies. Can't tell whether or not this is a down year for them or anything. They're still within the top 10, but they have a number one recruit coming out of high school playing for them next season. And we'll see whether or not that's their saving grace in giving Gino Auriemma a little something to think about in that regard. Then you also had 19th-ranked Northwestern defeating Michigan State 85-55, as Michigan State also suffering from a down year as well. They also got some pro sports going on. We'll get going with NBA recap what's happening today. 7 p.m., we got two games at that time. The Clippers taking on the Philadelphia 76ers. Kawhi Leonard trying to work his way through, trying to stay on top with one of the best in the West. They also at 7 p.m., Chicago Bulls taking on the Washington Wizards. Both teams about the same record in the East. Then at 8 p.m., with two games happening at that time, Zion Williamson and the New Orleans Pelicans will be hosting the Portland Trail Blazers and Damian Lillard. Then also at 8 p.m., the San Antonio Spurs will be taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Then at 9:30 p.m., it'll be the Houston Rockets led by James Harden taking on Kemba Walker, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and the Boston Celtics on TNT. You also got NHL action going on as well. At 7 p.m. tonight on the NBC Sports Network, the New York Islanders coming off of a fresh win against the Washington Capitals. Currently third right now in the Metro. They will be looking to take on the Philadelphia Flyers, who are just right behind them in that race. Then at 8 p.m., the Rangers will be traveling to Winnipeg to take on the Jets. They also have other games going on at 7 p.m. Buffalo hosting Detroit, Toronto hosting Arizona. You also got the Devils taking on the Panthers. And then there's also Pittsburgh with against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Another huge one going on. Then we also got some other scores, but we'll talk about that later as your halftime report is up. And we'll send it back to Matt and Ken at the Ken Pilaval Stadium for second half action of Stony Brook men's lacrosse. St. John's and Stony Brook tied up at 7. Here we go.
Pretty much, Zach. Just in time for the faceoff. So, usual suspects. It's going to be Eugenio against Conlon. Start off the third quarter here at faceoff. And this one, a clean win for Eugenio. And he's going to pass to his right, take a shot. And another Madsen finds the net. This time, it's going to be in number 11, Mike Madsen and the St. John's Red Storm. 6 seconds in, takes an 8-7 lead.
Oh, that was a brilliant strategy there by head coach Jason Miller for St. John's and that Red Storm team coming out of the halftime. You know, both teams trying to get back in the swing of things. He took the risk and gave it to his best scorer, Madsen, now for his first hat trick of the season.
It brings back a memory. 2002, America East Final at Hartford. Eric Hatkowitz at faceoff, wins it clean. Kevin Paul is just to the right of the net, just like Madsen was. But this was in overtime. This was 6 seconds in overtime. We win, advance to the NCAA for the first time ever.
Wow. So that one definitely not new to Stony Brook, but on the receiving end of that one. This time, though, a faceoff violation. So they're going to get the ball now going from our left to right.
So the Seawolves get the faceoff, and now they got to even it up. A lead that didn't last very long. Now they have to go and get it back. 14:37 left in the third quarter, 8-7. You got Pearson, who got the tying goal. Now Hahn, who assisted on it. They bring it back to the X, to Kashok. Out to the top, that's Wayne White. Wayne in the slot, passing to his left. Now down Anderson, again to Pearson. Pearson back up to the top to Anderson, out to the left side to White. White drawing a double team, bring it back behind the net now. Vangenhoven, Hahn, and now Pearson shoots! And this one gets stopped.
Yeah, and Akers needed a save. He let up the last three or four shots that went his way into the back of the net. That time, though, line drive right to him. He would have scooped that one up, get a save percentage back above 500.
St. John's has to play a little bit of keep away to get the ball past midfield, and they will, eventually. Stepping in the box, that's number 12, Dylan Willis. They'll work it around to the near side, where Joe Madsen gets a touch. Now Schaefer, he'll go cross field to the right side. Once again, Willis. Willis in the slot, in traffic, shoots, bounces up over the crossbar, and St. John's will get it. No, he will not get it. They will not get it back.
Man, great hustle once again from Stony Brook there. That looks like that was looks like that may have been White. So I was trying to double check to see who it was.
Matsuoka.
That was Matsuoka that time. It's another great defensive standout there from Stony Brook. And we were talking about it during break, how impressive this defense has looked. You know, despite giving up the 8 goals, been able to create a lot of offensive opportunities through strong defense.
They turn the ball over at midfield, and back come the Red Storm.
Yeah, Red Storm not too happy about that one, so they play tight defense going up the middle. That time works to their advantage.
Mike Madsen, quick flip to Willis. Over on the left side, that's Catalano. Edney, rather. 8 versus 9. Hey, out on left side is Joe Madsen. Madsen, now behind the net, gets his stick knocked loose and the ball with it. Picked up by Cassidy of Stony Brook. No, it was Trenkel, correction on that one.
Yeah, that was
so
Cassidy.
Trenkel gets credit for the ground ball.
Yeah, that was Cassidy with the poke away there, and that was good recovery because he got crossed by Madsen there. I fell to the floor, but instant recovery, poked it from behind, and Madsen lost that one, and now Stonberg has the ball at the 40.
Vangenhoven playing a little bit of keep away, finds Kashok on the left side, both hugging the left sideline. Working from left to right on your radio. Now, quick kick back out to Grippy. Just outside the box. Grippy down the slot, left side, left-handed cradle. Back to the X, Kashok on the right side, Hahn. Hahn brings it back out, right-handed cradle, even with the net.
Yeah, 1-1 against Smith there, a sophomore, dominant defensive player in his freshman season last year, doing it again there that time, not allowing the shot.
Kashok out to the left, Grippy.
And seeing him with 20 seconds on the shot clock, Stonberg trying to lure out these defensive wings outside of the wing so they get an opening right in front of the circle there. Unable to do so that time. Let's see how they switch up the strategy with 10 on the clock.
Back up to the top now, McCannell. Now to the X. That's Vangenhoven. Vangenhoven shoots on the run, and it's wide. And it's going back out to the near sideline and back to the Red Storm.
Oh, that was a tough break there for Stonberg because that could have been a goal had that one been a couple inches lower off the top crossbar that time. It bounced way out of bounds near a St. John's defender. The Red Storm are going to roll with this one to Stony Brook's side of the field.
Willis will complete the clear on the right side. Finds Edney. And now out to the left, Joe Madsen. Joe Madsen just outside the box. Quick pass to Schaefer. Back out in neutral territory to Grant Galligan. He'll drive. Down the left side, now even with the net, makes a left turn, now back towards the net again. He'll try to come to the X, being pursued very closely by Cassidy. They'll kick it back out to Joe Madsen, same situation on the left side. Now at the X, to the right side, Edney again. Edney trying to work off a pick, trying to get through in traffic. Ball knocked loose, Seals get back.
Defense closed up that time, just swamped all over him that time, forcing the turnover there as he dropped it.
Hahn will take the pass in St. John's territory. Trying to speed things up here with 9:49 left in the third quarter. St. John's scored 6 seconds right out of halftime to make it an 8-7 game. Pearson on the right side, right elbow, waiting for the other midfielders to get in the action. He'll play keep away a little bit, and now invert. And find Vangenhoven at the X. Vangenhoven out to the left side. That's Anderson. Anderson kicking it back up to the top to White. To the right side, Pearson. Pearson back out to White again. White loses control of the ball, but sweeps it away in neutral territory and gives Pearson some space to pick it up. But Pearson gets tripped up from behind. That's a flag. They'll play on.
Yeah, that one's going to be on Smith there, just crossing that time there. Just checked him so hard over the stick and really caught a lot of his shoulder there that time as Pearson fell to the floor. Still Stony Brook ball, so they're going to get free play with 13 on the shot clock.
Kashok at the X, one-handed cradle on the right. Back behind the Hahn. Now taking a shot, that's White. It's a little wide, but that will bring the Seawolves man-up unit out. And they'll have their first extra man opportunity of the game.
Yeah, and that one resets the shot clock as well, which is good because they only had 5 seconds left for the shot attempt. You said that was a tough foul. We know both these defenses are going to be aggressive. They have been all contest long. That time, though, just too much shoulder, not enough stick there. And we're going to see, looks like that was Smith for the tripping. So we see Stonebrook take an extra man on opportunity penalty.
Full minute. And it will start from the right side as usual. Pikel will bring the ball in. That's McCannell, Vangenhoven. Everybody's going to get a touch here. White. Out to the top now. That's Kalbacher. Now McCannell, Kalbacher. Left side, White. White shoots wide right. 40 seconds left on the man up. They'll be brought back in by Hahn at the end line.
And it's interesting this man-up opportunity because Stony Brook has been really conservative, as in they've really held on to the ball, really conservative with the shot clock. However, that time really rushed to try to get that shot 20 seconds into this man-up opportunity.
Now we're at the top. McCannell shoots. Knocked away.
Good save by Akers there. Getting a stick up at the right time. He let him roll up, or let him bounce over his head over to the outer boundary there. Stony Brook still with the ball.
Brought in at the X, Vangenhoven shoots, and Akers stops him right straight up.
Yeah, that was another tough break for Stony Brook, the man of advantage, and looks like it's going to be another penalty there for Stony Brook, that one on number 40.
10 seconds left on the man down for St. John's, but St. John's will clear. They'll let it go and play on.
They're probably going to get a man up off Vangenhoven's foul there.
Team back at even strength. Teams are both back at even strength for now, because as soon as Stony Brook touches the ball, they'll go man down again.
Yeah, that means Siebel's 0-2 on their extra man opportunities this evening. St. John's converted the only one they've had so far this contest.
Galligan at the X on the right side. Still doesn't have anything in front of him yet. Australia keeps him away. Joe Madsen on the left side taking a pass. Same thing, getting pushed out. Back up to the top now, Edney. On the right, that should be Willis. Willis takes a shot, and his stick got lifted, so it was a weak bouncer out to the corner, and that should start the man up for the Red Storm.
Yeah, don't want to give up opportunities like this, especially when you're down in a close one. Just one goal separates the two teams there, but Vangenhoven played aggressive defense after the save by Akers. That one cost them. Now Siebel's going to spend the next minute, or 30 seconds rather, of man down. 30 seconds.
So it's going to be a 30-second man up, as you said, against Vangenhoven. And Joe Madsen will bring in from the left.
You expect Madsen, brother, to try to take a score here quick.
Schaefer on the left side. Quick pass, Galligan at the X all the way around to the midfielders. Back to Schaefer again, comes full circle. Schaefer looking for the man down low, kicks it back up. Now Schaefer, now another man down low. It's going to be Mike Madsen. And Madsen, did he get it in? Yes, he did.
Ooh, that's a close one. Because to me, it looks like from our vantage point, he may have gone a foot or two inside the circle there. If so, that'd be a violation. However, the refs, they may be taking a second look at this one. So trying to see on the big screen now. However, oh, it looks like he was just inches close from when he was getting called for a violation. Great awareness there. He was faking it back and forth where he was going to take the shot. Probably trying to get his balance as well. But that time, Mike Madsen earns his third goal in the contest. Number 6 for the season. Have a hat trick.
So, 9-7 is your score. 6:40 remaining in the third. St. John's in the lead. This one's going to be a clean win. Maybe for Eugenio. Australia gets a stick on it. Still being fought for in Stony Brook territory. And very briefly, Siebel's had. Now they have it. Nope, kicked away again. This time it'll go back towards St. John's territory. There's a flag. Siebel's come up with it. Gangenhoven shoots. Kick saving the beauty on the follow. The Siebel score. Tom Hahn with a big goal right from the slot. Makes it 9-8.
Doesn't look like the refs are going to count it, though. I did hear a whistle blow just a second before Hollins took the shot for the score. Looks like the refs are going to wave this one off because there was a foul in the play.
Rebound came straight back to Hahn. He cranked it in, yep. But you're right.
I got to agree with you. I think the refs may have blown that one just a second too early because the shot ricocheted off the top crossbar. The refs ruled that was guess out of play or just a bounce opportunity to give Stony Brook the man advantage. And as soon as he called the whistle, Hahn got possession of it and scored.
So, The Seawolves still get a man up out of the deal, but they don't get the goal.
No, this one is being ruled as a ground ball pickup for Hahn. Here, seeing Coach Gilardi not too happy about that one. He wants an explanation from the refs, and he is not happy with that line judge's explanation.
Yes, I'd rather have the goal on the board.
I think Stony Brook would as well. St. John's may have gone on a break there.
White down low horn. Now he shoots and scores. This one's for real. Man up goal for the Seawolves. One goal deficit.
I don't think that was the way they designed it. We saw there, I think that was Vandenhoven on the far left side of the wing. He looked like he tried to get it to White in the middle, but White wasn't in position. And Hong just had enough wherewithal to reach out, get it. Oh, my mistake. That was actually a dish from White, and it looked like no look. Got it behind over his back for Hong, and Agers didn't see it coming as he was able to score. Wow.
But there's a what if. What if that goal had counted? We'd have tied it. 6:09 remaining in the third. It's been back and forth all night, folks.
Well, this one has been, as you said, a fun one to call. So tight, so close throughout the entire duration, no matter what the score was.
Seawolves on the face-off? Nope. Seawolves had it. Procedure call. Goes back to St. John's.
It looks like Compton just a second too early there that time. Looks like you're starting to see Duhenio get in the swing of things once again.
Well, not necessarily. He lost that. Like I said, with the Seawolves not having a great face-off guy since Adam ran, but a great steal by the Seawolves once again. This time, it was Michael Sabella, the long stick mid, knocking a ball free and a stick free, and the Seawolves take it away.
How about that for the freshman?
Long stick, shot wide left.
And that was O'Leary there, the long stick midfielder, someone not known for making shots. He does have one goal, though, actually scored against the Penn State Nittany Lions. How about that one? However, that time just shot too far wide. But going back to Sabella, an incredible defensive play, not only because it comes from the freshman against a veteran offensive player for St. John's, but he got a foul out of it.
So another man up for the Seawolves. They converted on their last one.
1-for-3 in the contest, as you said, in man-up opportunities, with Hahn getting the score that time. Joe Madsen got called for pushing there, and he's been one of the leading scorers for the Red Storm. So Stony Brook fortunate to have man-up opportunity here, especially with a very volatile St. John's scorer on the sidelines for the next 30 seconds.
9-8, your score. Seawolves looking to tie here with a man up. Up top to White. Right side, McCannell. Back up to White again.
St. John's giving no cushion.
Out to left side. Looking for a shot, thinking twice about it. Nope. Right side, McCannell. Back to White top. On left, shot taken and stop. Rebound! Hahn for the score! We're tied! So Kalbacher took the shot from a 45-degree angle, 10 yards out. They got the stop. Akers got the stop, but the rebound came right back to Hahn. Right place, right time. Evens up the game.
Have yourself a hat trick, Hahn, a beauty, as you said, coming off the rebound. One of the reasons why he was named All-Conference First Team, not only the team leading scorer last season, but this time now getting his first hat trick of the season off a beauty.
5 minutes left in the third quarter. We're tied at 9. Off the face-off, we got a whistle, and a St. John's. No, Stony Brook win. Had me there for a minute. So Matsuoka will bring it in for the Seawolves from midfield. Immediately gives the grippy.
This is Stony Brook's time to strike while the iron is hot. Two quick goals now in man-up opportunities. Once he can try to draw another one, try to get another scoring opportunity with an advantage.
Vangenhoven and Cashock play catch on the left side, bring it back out to the midfielders again. Grippy and Piquel. Grippy has it right now. Driving to his left. Quick flip to Vangenhoven. Now an underhanded shot from 10 yards out. McCannell scores. Seawolves' first lead of the night, 10-9.
Matt, Stony Brook has found an exploit in Agers' system. They have connected their last four goals on the bottom right window corner of the net there. They've just really been targeting that right side of Agers, and he's done nothing to stop it, nothing to prohibit these shots from going in. And that one off McCannell for his third goal as well, rather second that time. and it's just adding on to the, and now adding to Stony Brook's tally for their first lead of the contest.
So Sea wants to figure out two things right now. First of all, Eugenio, because the ball is not free and picked up once again by Renz Conlon, but he loses control. So not a clean win. And we still don't know who has the ball yet. Still being fought for neutral territory. There's a flag.
Oh, the Red Storm are livid. We're seeing it here displayed on the field. A lot more shoving and pushing than we're used to. We're going to get another pushing called on a Red Storm defender here. We'll see who goes on. But yeah, the Red Storm not happy after surrendering these quick goals to Stony Brook.
Now, nobody was clearly in control when that flag was thrown. Obviously, it'll be a man up for the Seawolves because the penalty went against the Red Storm. So Vangenhoven will get it started. Quick flip to Pearson about 10 yards out from the box. Out to the left side now. You got Kashalk.
So very interesting.
No, it's Anderson, sorry, 51.
Very interesting to know. Doesn't look like there's a man-up opportunity right now because our team had full possession. So the refs picked up the flags. Still Stony Brook possession.
Back behind that Vangenhoven. Wayne White shoots wide left.
As you said, going back to the right bottom corner there of the net, trying to get it past Agers. That one got too much of the right crossbar. That one flying out of bounds. Still Stony Brook possession.
So now Anderson loses one guy, but keeps it at that. Plays a little bit of keep away on the left side. Finds Pearson. Pearson takes some pressure off. Hanging out on the left corner now. 3:29 left in the third. Seawolves up 10-9. Now he's at the X, coming around to the right side. Bad pass to White, but he has some space to recover.
Yeah, that was a grounder there. White wasn't expecting that one. He expected it to be high. Fortunate for Stony Brook, they were able to get the rebound.
So Seawolves play back to the X for Hahn. Hahn, left side of the net.
It's Red Storm adding extra pressure now on the right wing.
Pearson shoots wide left.
Sorry, Matt, to your point, as in, Red Storm adding extra pressure to the right side of the wing, an extra defender there. So we saw that was McConnell try to take a shot on the left upper left side of the window. Too much onto that time. Still Stony Brook ball.
Cashall brings it in from the far corner. Anderson on the left side. Back to the X to Vangenhoven. Vangenhoven works off a pick set by Pearson. Coming around to the front. Draws a double team. Brings it in, right at the doorstep, shoots and scores! Corey Vangenhoven, two-goal lead for the Seawolves, it's 11-9.
Oh, what a beauty off the attack. That time, 1-on-1 against the defender. Vangenhoven beats him, now 1-on-1 against Agers, expecting it to go to the left. So Vangenhoven fakes it, goes to his right, and scoops it all the way up. He's able to get it inside for the score, through the back of the net. He said a two-goal lead, Stony Brook on fire. Red Storm have to burn one of their two timeouts. Wow.
So with 2:46 left in the third quarter, this should be a St. John's timeout, and it is. So we'll send it back to Zach for a minute for an update, and then when we get back, we'll finish up the third and see where the Seawolves go from there. Up 11-9 on St. John's. You're listening to a longtime home for Seawolves Athletics, WSB.
Thank you, Matt and Ken. So we'll take it for a minute. And as I said before, college basketball, the 6:30 p.m. start time between 13th-ranked Penn State and Purdue should be happening any minute now. We also got some locals going on tonight. The Islanders taking on the Philadelphia Flyers at 7 o'clock. And you also have at 8 o'clock the Winnipeg Jets taking on the New York Rangers. NBA action tonight. We got some five games going on in that stretch where the Clippers takes on the Sixers, Joel Embiid, and Kawhi Leonard battling out face-to-face. We also have Beal and the Wizards up against the Chicago Bulls at 7 p.m. And at 8, Zion Williamson taking on Damian Lillard as the Trailblazers and the Pelicans battle it out. And at 8 p.m. is the Oklahoma City Thunder will be taking on the San Antonio Spurs at 8 o'clock. Then at 9:30 p.m., a battle of top-tier teams in their respective conference. The Boston Celtics playing at the Houston Rockets, taking on James Harden and Russell Westbrook. Then with other locals that are going on, tomorrow it'll be in basketball with the Brooklyn Nets, who once again face the Toronto Raptors and try to snap their 15-game winning streak. While the Knicks have been looking a little bit pretty interesting lately, we'll have their chance to take on Beal and the Wizards tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. And with that, we will send it back to Matt and Ken at the stadium for more third quarter action.
So here we are. St. John's won the faceoff once again. They've got the ball with 2:35 left in the third quarter. Seawolves lead 11-9, though.
Yeah, we've seen Seawolves dominate so far throughout much of this third period here, but they only get two over their heads now. They have scored the last four goals each in the last minute, for the last 4 minutes, rather. However, now on defense, they've seen a couple of their defenders lose the stick pretty easily. I want to still play heavy defense, though, because this Red Storm can strike quick.
Seawolves making the best of an opportunity when an offensive player, Madsen, lost his footing. The ball trickles out to midfield, and Seawolves come up with it. Nope, correction on that. Van Genhoven looked like he had it.
Yeah, looks like he was just at the outer boundary there. 1 foot out of bounds, and line judge, they're going to rule that one to St. John's.
So the Red Storm catches a break, down two, with a minute 48 left in the third quarter. They get back to work on offense. Shot taken. Bollinger stops it. Madsen took it.
Yeah, that was a bouncer there, going right to Wasilewski there on the left wing.
Now Galligan bringing it back up to the top, or tried to, but this pass gets intercepted. Matsuoka got a stick in there. He's got it. Turns on the Jets. Brings it in. Nice flip to the left side, and Vangenhoven shoots wide right. Seawolves to get it back.
Vangenhoven had tried to capitalize with a beautiful pitch by Matsuoka there. Wow, something straight out of a football game. But that time, though, had to shoot fire that one. Fortunate for them, that looks like that was Kashok there, able to get the rebound for Stony Brook.
Nice little trick pass there.
Haven't seen too many of that in this game. We'll see as the period starts winding down. Both teams start bringing out another rabbit out of their hat.
Final minute of the third quarter. Pikel in neutral territory. Quick pass to Grippy. About 7 yards outside the box on the left side. 52 seconds. Seawolves lead 11-9. Would love to extend it here. Playing for that last shot.
Yeah, about 10-second difference between game and shot clock, so they will burn much of it like they have been doing for most of this contest.
Pikel now on the left side of the box, going out to the left corner, inverting, coming around to the X, 20 seconds on the shot clock, 29 the game clock, coming around to the near side, drawing his defender away, now bring it back up to the top to McCannell. Out to the left side, Grippy. Grippy shoots wide right. So with 5 on the shot clock, 14 and a half on the game clock. Vangenhoven will bring it back in. It'll take his time. Come around to the X, even with the net. And they'll just let the shot clock run out. See what St. John's can do with 4 seconds. And all they're going to do is fling the ball towards the net, try their luck, not happening. So, 3 quarters in the books. And as you said, a dominant third quarter for the Stony Brook Seawolves, where they have taken the lead 11-9.
And it has been based off the shooting of the Seawolves team. Had 16 in the first half, had 17 shots in the third quarter alone. Just an incredible stat, holding the St. John's Red Storm to just 5. They've been dominant on the ball for the majority of the third quarter, as well as scooping up 7 ground balls. Definitely helped their case. That was able to really, really turn into this big lead for Stony Brook now, up 2 with 15 to go.
But look at the face-offs. Close to dead even. 12 for 23, St. John's. Of course, St. John's 11, so it's almost 50-50. Slight edge of St. John's. It's an odd number of face-offs, obviously. Now, on the extra man opportunities, St. John's 2 for 2, Stony Brook 2 for 4, so both have a pair of man-up goals. The clears, close to even again. The saves, Bollinger with 13, which is huge. And that's going to carry them, you know, they're going to serve them very well throughout the season as long as Bollinger stays healthy. Cause turnovers, really not much of a change. Stony Brook 9 over St. John's 6. But the turnovers really weren't a factor in the third quarter.
No, that was all Stony Brook shooting. They were so dominant, so controlling on offense that Bollinger didn't need to record a save in the third quarter. It was all on Agers there. They stressed him to the goal. Were able to get four goals in the last 4 minutes of action, and then they had six other saves from Agers.
We'll keep it here for the third quarter break because we had just gone to Zach only a couple of minutes ago. Give him a break. We're gonna have a few more timeouts in the fourth quarter anyway. Stony Brook has two remaining and St. John's has one. So Zach's going to be pretty busy. But regardless, we got fresh 15 on the clock. The Seawolves turn things around here in the third quarter. And you got a taste, I think, as you were saying, at the beginning of the game, what to expect from the Seawolves for the rest of the year. You didn't see the Seawolves team you expected to see in the first half. You saw it in the third.
Absolutely, and we're also seeing the presence that head coach Anthony Gagliardi is bringing to the Stony Brook team. A lot more controlling, a lot more explosive offensively, able to turn to two or three variables that have really been X-factors and game-changers in tonight's contest.
And also able to improvise, too, when they need to. Okay, start of the fourth quarter. St. John's comes up with a loose ball off the face-off. It comes back to number 20, Matt Duncan. So St. John's working from left to right. And he immediately gets to Joe Madsen on the left side. They'll play catch a little bit. Matt Ohl and Joe Madsen on the left. Wait for the midfielders to get set up. 30 seconds into the fourth quarter. And now you see Duncan getting a touch. And a quick handoff to Mike Madsen. Mike Madsen in traffic. Duncan shoots, bounces off a bunch of feet in traffic. Mike Madsen rescues the ball, but it comes back out to the crease, behind the crease, even with the net. Still being fought for. Looked like, yes, Seawolves come up with it. Big dig for Michael Sabella. But can't get it to Matsuoka. Matsuoka tries to gain some space for himself, and it's dug up by Duncan of St. John's. And now finally, in the hands of number 30, that is Tim Keel.
That was the first turnover,
time we talk about him.
That was the first turnover in a while surrendered by Stony Brook. Remember, earlier in the contest, especially in the first period, some of those Seawolves turnovers turned into Red Storm points. You know, this defense is going to be on point for the last 13:35. They want to exit Laval Stadium with a victory.
Grant Galligan down the right side. Round to the X. They bring out to the left. Joe Madsen trying to get around his man. Create some space for himself. They bring it back up to the top, Schaefer. Schaefer shoots wide right. So it's going to be brought back in by Matt Ohl. Now Mike Madsen brings it back up to the top. That's Dylan Willis. Willis inverts. Back to Ohl. Out to Schaefer on the left side. Schaefer shoots. Off a couple of Stony Brook defenders. Dug up. Hopefully, once again, and yes, Cassidy finds his man. That's Lancaster, and they dig it up. Correction on that, Sabella.
O'Leary. Yeah, as you said, to your point, that was Cassidy was actually the incredible stop there. A circus pass to Sabella. He was on the ground, pitched it back up to Sabella, who's been having a heck of a game in his first collegiate start, the freshman. They found O'Leary as he tried to take another shot. The long stick mid missed. Still Stony Brook ball with 64 on the shot clock.
Big takeaway there for the Seawolves.
And Matt, while there's a little break in the action, Stony Brook tries resetting the offense. The Stony Brook defense has been so incredible so far throughout a lot of this contest. Seeing some of these new faces like Sabella and Cassidy, who dominated last season, really step up for this team has been really influential in the score of this game.
Anderson was looking for Cashock down low, but the pass got picked off. Back come the Red Storm. Here comes Dylan Willis, who will complete the clear. 12-12 remaining in the fourth quarter. Stony Brook up 11-9 on St. John's.
We're seeing it on these fast break opportunities. Players like Anderson there who are on Willis. Good pushes, good legal, clean hits there. Clean contact, not surrendering these fouls that could lead into man-up opportunities.
Duncan being guarded by Pearson. Quick pass to Mike Madsen. Mike Madsen top of the slot. Back to Duncan again, going down low. Sweeping shot taken by Connor Kalmus. That got stopped by Bollinger. Rebound comes all the way out to midfield. There's a flag on the play.
It looks like
it's going against St. John's. Hall like digs up the ball.
It looks like it'll be on St. John's for pushing there, but another great clear out by Stony Brook. Unfortunate break for the Red Storm because that one was on goal, but off the right crossbar.
So Stony Brook will play on, we think. They're switching up the midfield, that's for one thing. Now they're going to go man up. Looks that way. Just judging from the guys who are on the field. Vangenhoven will bring it in. And we're still waiting for the clock to come up. With 11:28 remaining in the fourth quarter. Stony Brook up 11-9. Should be going man up now. There we go. It's going to be a 30-second man up for the Seawolves. And it will be number 19, Connor Kalmus, who will take a knee for St. John's. Brought in by Vangenhoven, White getting a touch. Quick flip back to McCannell. McCannell back to White up top. Out to the left side, Kalbacher now. Back to Kalbacher to White. They'll play catch a little bit over there. Now they'll find the right side. McCannell. Back out to White, Kalbacher now. Bad pass intended for Vangenhoven. Knocked loose. St. John steals it. 6 seconds left in the man-up for the Seawolves.
It looks like there'll be another pushing call there. That one's going to be on number 30 of St. John's. Keel, that was good defense from him, but he did push Vangenhoven there at the end. So the rest of the ball back to Stony Brook.
But the teams are back at even strength.
The Red Storm got to be at least a little bit happy about that. Not happy at the turnover there that time, but fortunate that Stony Brook didn't score on the extra man opportunity. They did on the last two extra man chances that they had.
So White's going to invert, come back to the X, create some isolation. Back up to Pikel. Pikel shoots from 13 yards out. He scores, extends the Seawolves' lead to 12-9.
And that was a great job mixing up the shots there from Pikel Jr. Usually they've been targeting the left to right bottom corner of the net. That time was just a straight line drive past Agers. He didn't even have a chance to get a stick up. He didn't see it coming. It's a line drive through the face of Agers there. They're going to find his way to the back of the net. And now a 3-point advantage for Stony Brook as Pikel Jr. tallies his second goal of the contest.
All alone in the slot. And just cranked it. That's one thing, especially when you see in practice and warm-ups, just about everybody on the field at this level has a decent shot. So the loose ball still being fought for. Kalmus actually was a real Ronin of Stony Brook who had for about a second or two. Still pursuing. Finally dug up by number 20 on the St. John's side, Matt Duncan. And St. John's is in control. 12-9, Stony Brook, 10-08 remaining in the fourth.
And the Johnnies, after such a dominant start in the contest, really, again, near equal on face-offs and offensive opportunities, Stony Brook has almost caught up to them on the shooting department. We'll see if the Johnnies take any time trying to fire off a shot or maybe try to burn some clock.
Edney will come out even with the net. Finds old DX. They come back out to the left side. Matsuoka staying on Joe Madsen. They're able to dump it off. They bring it back out to the X, out to the right side. Bad pass intended for Edney, and Estrella gets a stick on it. Edney fighting for it over on the near side. Finally, Mike Madsen digs it up, and we have a whistle. And it's going to be Stony Brook ball.
Looks like another pushing violation there on St. John's. So Stony Brook does it there. And now another one. We saw Estrella shoved to the ground. So flags coming out for this one.
Estrella got pushed from behind.
Red Storm with 5 penalties in this contest. Looks like they're going to get a 6th as well.
And it should go against number 19 on the St. John's side, Connor Kalmus. And it will. That's 32nd. And extra man opportunity for the Seawolves with 9:25 remaining in the 4th.
That's
up 12-9 already.
And that's 4 total minutes now that St. John's have been down a player. And while they've only scored 2 goals in those 4 minutes, it's still tough to really come back in a contest, especially when you're down 3 without a man, without equal strength or a man advantage.
White has it at top of the slot. Right side, McCannell. Around to Hahn. Back up to the top. McCannell again. Back to Hahn. Sweeping shot. Wide left. Stopped. But Pickell, he's going to get called with a flag for roughing the goalie.
Yeah, and Pickell just tackled Eagers there down at the ground with the stick. It's a bit too much on that one. It's a bit too high of the contact there. So you saw Eagers take the bump, and the refs called the foul there.
So you have 5 seconds left on the Stony Brook man up. You got 30 seconds. So you got 25 seconds, both teams man down, and 25, St. John's man up.
Yeah, St. John's perfect. 2 for 2 with its extra man opportunities. It needs to score a goal and fast. So what better way than try to take advantage with the extra 25 seconds? You're going to be ahead of player with the ball starting on Stony Brook territory.
So here's where it gets interesting. Where do you start it? At midfield? Yes, it will be. So St. John's has the ball. It will be brought in by Schaefer. They'll pass to his left, Joe Madsen. Around to the X. Now Mike Madsen. Mike Madsen, I think he was looking for a pass. Threw it away. So the Seawolves have 14 seconds of man down to kill. And it'll take that long to clear it, I'm sure.
And it looks like they're going to have another tough break from the Red Storm. They had a scoring chance. That one was going to go to, looks like, even Galligan there that time on the right side. But just too far out, and they burned their potential scoring opportunity. And to me, it looked like they had it.
Back even strength, but Matsuoka lost the ball. But dug up by Hahn.
Matt, if going back to St. John's, though, these turners are really brutalizing them, especially this late in the contest. You can't afford to create too many turnovers like that, and especially surrender them when you have the man advantage. This is really going to be the difference maker if the Johnnies can come back in this contest or not.
So, to kill more clock as we get down to 8 minutes, Grippy will hang out in neutral territory. So will Pickell. Come back to Grippy. Now Grippy will make a move. But Grippy nearly threw that one away. Found McCannell. McCannell rescued it. Now Hahn back to McCannell, out to Vangenhoven, dropping at the doorstep and up and over the crossbar. And so the Seawolves will get back.
And because it hit the crossbar, it's a fresh 80 for them. You know they're going to burn a lot of this clock, something that's going to go against St. John in Stony Brook's favor. And if you're the offense of Coach Gilardi, you know you're going to try to sit on it for as much as possible, burn as much clock as possible, try to avoid giving it back to St. John's until about 6 minutes left.
So McCannell taking his time over on the left side. 7:26 left on the game clock. 60 seconds on the shot clock. Vangenhoven shoots. And it'll be brought back in by Hahn.
Seawolves firing on the wings there. Maybe they'll continue to keep targeting that side. It's worked before in the past.
Hahn will bring it in, even with the left side. Back to the X. It should be Grippy. Not in his usual spot, but nobody seems to be right now. Pickell out to the left side. McCall shoots. That one parried away, and it's going to wind up in the far corner.
And that's the sweet spot the Seawolves have been going to, that bottom right corner of the net. That time, though, Eager just got enough on it to have to go roll past him to the backside.
So it's 7:01 remaining here in the fourth quarter. Seawolves up 12-9. A not insurmountable lead for the Red Storm, but they have to get the ball back. But yeah. Seawolves doing a pretty good job holding on to it right now. Hahn brings it back in on the left, on the right side, rather. Brings it back out to McCannell at top of the slot. He drifts out to the left. Back to the X now. Vangenhoven comes out to the front. Finds McCannell again. Back out to Mikkel. Mikkel shoots wide right. And Kashoff will bring it back in from the end line. 13 seconds left on the shot clock. Shot clock will tick on, and so will the game clock. Seawolves have to get something going here. Vangenhoven back to the net, fires wide right, and out to the corner. 5 left on the shot clock, 6:28. As you said, it would wind down to that on the game clock. And they'll just let it go.
Yeah, good strategy there. Also, goes back to what we were talking about earlier with the fluidity of Coach Gilardi's offense. Those are one of the reasons why he led the top-ranked Towson Tigers to an NCAA Final Four opportunity just last season. Just seeing a lot of players touch the ball, hold on to it, and milk a lot of the clock.
And Vangenhoven knocks the ball loose in midfield, dug up by Estrella.
How about that for a strip? One-handed with the stick. He's able to knock it out to Johnny there that time. Stony Brook with the ball again, just killing any opportunity St. John has at trying to score and tighten this one up.
So Seawolves have more time to kill. 5:50 left here in the fourth quarter. Up 12-9. It's only a three-goal lead, folks, but you can't score if you don't have the ball, and the Seawolves are doing a very good job holding on to it right now.
It's true. The last time St. John's actually held on to the ball for more than about 10 seconds so was around the 8-minute mark. So it's been almost 3 minutes that St. John's have even had a chance at trying to create a shot opportunity.
White, even with the net, throws it away, and this time St. John's will definitely get it back. Hahn couldn't handle it, so the Red Storm finally catches a break. But they need scoring now. 5:16 remaining.
And it doesn't help that Seawolves have put on two or three of their long stick mids there, commanding the midfield and upper defensive echelon.
So Willis brings it in, Stony Brook territory. Matt Ohl at the X. Now Joe Madsen inverted. He comes out to the near side.
And we see Joe
Guardian Schaefer. And working in midfield.
Joe guarded by Danny Cassidy, second team all conference. This be real tough to get against with his height and agility.
Mike Madsen slips up, draws a flag. And scores two, catching everybody flat footed, and makes it 12-10. With a golden opportunity to add to it.
No better time to score than there. And how about that? Showtime! Madsen there behind the back. Look at that one again. What a beauty with that behind-the-back shot. Caught everyone, including Bollinger, in the net by surprise. Able to get it right after he was able to draw the foul there. And looks like that one's going to be on on O'Leary, rather. So it's going to be St. John's. No man advantage because of the score, but 12-10 deficit for St. John's with 4:40 left to go.
So they bring it back where they want it. We have the best chance of getting the ball back with their face-off specialists. Jonathan Duhenio. But the guy able to match him, Renz Conlin, is there too. Shoulder to shoulder. Conlin has it. Ball knocked loose. Still being fought for. Going towards St. John's territory. You see Hahn getting a stick on it. And finally, the Red Storm dig it up. Tim Keel gets the ground ball on that one. And back come the Red Storm trying to catch the Seawolves flat-footed again, but instead having trouble handling it there. That's number 19, Connor Kalmus. They do recover, create some space for themselves, but they have to slow things down a little bit or they might cough it up again.
Yeah, St. John's rolling quick. You notice that a long pass from the goal to the midfield, and even there, trying to find Conlin, that not able to get a shot that time.
Madsen, this time at the doorstep, but misses. So he'll be brought back in. Once again by Ohl. And then there's Mike Madsen again. Finding a man down low, and Kalmus is going to have to bring it back out.
We've seen St. John's really try to control the right side of the wing. See here again for cut inside.
Duncan driving. Trying to find a man left of the net. Was trying to find Ohl, but Ohl falls down, and the ball got knocked free, but stays with St. John's. 3:35 remaining. Joe Madsen brings it back up to the top for Schaefer. Sets a pick for him. Takes a pass back from him now. Joe Madsen going down low. And a behind-the-back shot taken by Matt Ohl. That missed. And St. John's lack of accuracy on shots makes them call a timeout. Now we're going to send it back to Zach. 3:23 remaining here in the fourth quarter. Stony Brook 12, St. John's 10. Stick around. It's going to be a tight one. You're listening to a longtime home for Seawolves Athletics, WSB.
And back in the studio, as the time winds down at Canfield Bell Stadium, we'll get going with some more scores that are currently going on right now. Between 13th-ranked Penn State and Purdue, the Nittany Lions have a 9-point lead over the Boilermakers with 6:54 left to go in the first quarter. Also, another update for the women's basketball team that I was hoping to say sooner, but they have crawled into the top 10 more with a number 8 ranking after they were ranked number 9 last week, so they continue with their winning streak, and it rewards them even greater as they also received 7 votes in the coaches' top 25 poll this week. Also mentioned before with Lehigh and UMBC, that game's still currently going on. Lehigh is still up. They are up 16-11 with 1:22 left to go in the second half, and it looks like the Hawks are going to take that win from UMBC. Also, you got other games going on as well. The college basketball, as I said, some other games that will be happening very shortly, such as 7 p.m. games between 12th-ranked Kentucky and Vanderbilt. You also got Mississippi State and Ole Miss in the SEC battle as well. Then you got another A-10 battle as well between four of them and Davidson. So I imagine the timeout's over, so let's get going and see what happens throughout the rest of the fourth quarter.
And thank you very much, Zach Wilson. 3:23 remaining here in the fourth quarter. Stony Brook, a 12-10 lead on the St. John's Red Storm. It's opening night for men's lacrosse and also lacrosse in general, because the women played last night, but that was on the road. Great win at Syracuse. We'll be seeing them against Ohio State opening at home on Saturday. Tomorrow night, by the way, women's basketball over at the Onfeld Credit Union Arena. Means we're busy this week. Matt Mankiewicz, Ken Furman. Shot taken, and it's a one-goal game on the run. That was taken by Schaefer on the left side right out of the break. It's a one-goal game with 3:11 remaining.
Yeah, we haven't said his name in quite a while, and they're able to get it done that time, finding the hole on the left side of the wing, blazing it through Bollinger upstairs. And we noted they've been really targeting Bollinger downstairs for a lot of the contest, especially throwing a lot of ground balls and choppers at him. That time, though, another line drive to the upper window, that time getting the score.
Just like last year, huh, Zach? So, back to midfield for the faceoff. Usual suspects. Duhenio and Conlon. Loose ball. Comes back to the Red Storm. Kyle McBride holding on to it. Opportunity to tie here.
Both teams going to have to be on their A game for the remainder of this contest. St. John's cannot afford to turn the ball over again. May not want to set on this one too long. Yeah, you want to set up your offense, but you're still down a goal with 2:49 remaining. And when Stony Brook gets possession again, should they, and St. John's doesn't score, they're going to try to burn a lot of this clock.
Mike Madsen, even down on the right side. Back out to old DX, coming around to back to the top. Schaefer again. Schaefer, Estrella, staying on him, pushing him away. Back up to the top now. That's Madsen. Joe. Mike Madsen. Shot taken. Low one by Matt Duncan. Missed.
The Johnnies got the shot they wanted to the person they wanted. Madsen 1-1 against Bollinger on the right wing that time there. Bollinger too much on it there and rejected off the right side of the bar. That one is still St. John's possession.
Mike Madsen off the pick. In the slot. Shoots. Ties it. 2:08 remaining, it's 12-12.
Oh, this has been an exciting one all night long, and St. John's just continues to show up in the last couple minutes here. Another score coming off that last time from Schaefer, that time though from Madsen, getting his eighth of the season there, that time going back to the ground. Bollinger just a step too late that time. We're all tied up at 12 with 2:08 left to go.
Looked like the Seawolves going to sit on a three-goal lead, but nobody sits on a three-goal lead for 15 minutes. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's a bit reminiscent of the last quarter when Stony Brook scored in consecutive minutes four times. St. John's has scored three straight times in 3 minutes.
Another win on the faceoff. Kyle McBride coming up with the loose ball. But St. John's still has the neutral territory. Dylan Willis has to turn on the Jets and bring it in. He'll use a pass to do it. On the right side of the box, that's Mike Madsen. Back up to the top, Schaefer. Out to Joe on the left side. Back to Schaefer up top. And now, once again, you get Matt Duncan. Back up to Schaefer again, just outside the box. Driving to the left side, shoots on the run. Bouncer up over the crossbar. St. John's will get back with a minute 29 remaining.
Yeah, that's as expected. Both teams with one timeout, but Coach Miller probably not going to burn his timeout since it's still a tie game. He sees Stony Brook offense or defense and they try to counter against it.
Each team has one timeout left. Kalmus will bring it in from the end line. Finds Mike Madsen on the right side. Back up in the neutral territory. Duncan out to Schaefer. Schaefer trying to get past Matsuoka. Shoots on the run. Bollinger with the stick save. Long rebound goes out of bounds.
And that one's going to go to Stony Brook there off the great hustle by Matsuoka there. That time, just dove for it. Got his stick just far enough out the outer boundary that he was going to get possession for Stony Brook, and it's the first time Stony Brook gets one in about 3 minutes or so.
So Trankel will bring it in past midfield. Well, actually, he's going to bring it back to Bollinger. Now go to the right side with a nice long pass, Cassidy. And now Seawolves will complete the clear, and this is where Gilardi will take the last timeout. 57.4 seconds left. We'll keep it here. Strategy. You go to the go-to guys, you kill a little time, get ahead as soon as you can, sit on it. What do you do?
Well, the timeout means that Stony Brook will be able to hold the ball for as long as they want for the remainder of regulation. There's only 57.4 seconds on the clock, so that means they could burn probably 35, 40 seconds or so before they even try to attempt something. They'll still have a good 15 seconds or so before regulation is over. With that, you probably do want to turn to your senior veterans, Tom Hall, Chris Bickell Jr. Both of them have been great tonight, and you're really going to see what this head coach Anthony Gilardi offense is made of. Remember last year, he led one of the strongest offenses in the NCAA in Towson, number one ranked at one point. And we're going to see what Pickell, Hahn, and the rest of the Seawolves can do. But if I'm Coach Miller for St. John's, I'm expecting them to turn to Pickell Jr. or Hahn, who already has a hat trick in this contest.
So let's see what the look is going to be, because we don't even know which midfielder is coming out yet.
Also, key to note, St. John's are double the amount of penalties as Stony Brook, 6-3. And even though they are down turnover-wise, the last place you want to commit a penalty or a turnover is here and now. You commit one now, the chances of you losing this game can increase exponentially.
Your midfielder is going to be Grippy, McCannell, and Pickell. So you're right on that one.
And Stony Brook has found a lot of success at the lower edge, lower left side against Agers, who has 14 saves but has allowed 12 goals. Bollinger, meanwhile, batting 500, 12 saves, 12 goals.
So he'll be brought in by Pickell in neutral territory. Quick flip to McCannell. Out to Van Genhoven on the left side. They'll do it again. Out to McCannell again, just outside the box on the left elbow. Down the left wing to the X for Van Genhoven, who will come back out. And then get to McCannell, inverts. Trying to get a feed down low. It's thrown out into neutral territory. Shoveled back by Trankel, but the loose ball comes back to St. John's with 27.2 seconds remaining. And now St. John's has to call a timeout.
As I said, the worst place to surrender a turnover was right there. And as we saw that time, Trankel just a foot over the boundary trying to deflect that one back out the other way. That time now gives St. John's potentially the final opportunity of regulation. So
this is where the defense comes in. So we're getting pretty much what we expected, but we were hoping that Stony Brook at least would be a goal ahead to sit on it. Now they have survival here to consider. 23.4 seconds to force OT. OT, of course, is sudden death. First to score wins the game. Memories to a February in 2011 where this happened, where the Seawolves were down a goal with 5 seconds remaining against Virginia, forced overtime, but blew a clear, and Steele Stanwyck was there to secure it for the Cavaliers. Now, of course, this is the first game after losing to them in the semifinal, in the regional final, rather, 10-9, which kept them a goal away from the final four. So they meet again to start the season, and Virginia beats them in overtime.
But, you know, Coach Miller has to be happy about this. He can sit on this clock for as long as he wants, and he has his star Madison Twins there, and either of the midfielders could potentially be the hero for St. John's. Combined, they have 7 goals. Mike leads his brother with 5.
Schaefer joined the double team. Back out, now over to Joe Madsen. Joe Madsen on the left side. 8 seconds. Joe Madsen top of the slot. Cassie staying on him. Shoots, wide left. 1.5 remaining.
That strong defense from Cassidy. They're all over Madsen. We'll see what St. John's pulls up. Tries to do a quick one up the middle. See if they try to alley-oop this one in.
Mike Madsen will bring it in. Mike Madsen, if he is blocked, that's going to run it out and force overtime. CJ Trankel getting a stick in there, making sure nothing happened.
That was key defense from Stony Brook. They needed the stop, and they got it. Cassidy all over Mattson, unable to do anything but try to air it out. Unable to get anything that time, and Trenko there with the big key stop in order to avoid St. John's from sneaking one and pulling up a last-second victory.
So, a little meeting with the captains. Connor Grippy on the Stony Brook side. And Pat Smith on the St. John's side. They'll flip a coin. To determine which goals are being defended. So the Seawolves will work left to right. Right to left, rather. And the St. John's Red Storm right to left. No, left to right, St. John's, all the way around for the Seawolves.
Yeah, Matt, and to your point, it has been an exciting contest. Obviously, the key for both teams is to score. Let's get the obvious out the way. What's going to be the difference maker? Looking for the open man, creating the open space, and making sure you do not turn over the ball. Because turnovers have been costly for both teams all contest long. You surrender one this late, it could be the difference maker between coming out of victory and defeat.
So it's going to be Deskowitz who will work the faceoff of the Seawolves.
Yeah, that's
against Duhenio.
Yeah, Deskowitz only had one successful faceoff in three attempts. Duhenio has been the guy for the Johnny, 16-27.
Deskowitz and Duhenio to the end.
4 minutes on the overtime clock. 12-12 is how it ended up at the end of regulation. First to score, walks away with the win. And this time Duhenio, the win. Pass to the right is... Actually, went to Mattson, Mike Mattson. Mattson had no shot, so they'll bring it back out to the top to Matt Duncan.
St. John's going to slow it down. Looked like they're going to try to get a quick one off of Duhenio, try to fake it out to Mattson. That time, though, Stony Brook stopped it, and all offense is going to reset for the Red Storm.
Oh, if he were open, no doubt. Like I said, remember, 2002, America East Final. 18 years ago. Now, they've each got a timeout, so St. John's is going to take another timeout with 3:28 remaining in the OT. They have the ball in Stony Brook territory, so they want to run a set play and finish it.
Exactly. Coach Smith's going to talk to his team now. They're going to set up, as you said, set up a play probably somewhere around the wing, right across Bollinger, somewhere where you can target him upstairs, and should it deflect or hit off crossbar, have your second player on the opposite side try to scoop it up for a rebound and quick score.
Now, Seawolves have been pretty good at knocking the ball free and cleaning up the garbage in front of the net. Especially in the second half.
Yeah, this team...
First half, they had some problems.
No, they've definitely cleaned up a lot of their mistakes in the second half. Are out scooping up St. John's 39-30 in the ground ball department. So they definitely want to look for one or two of those in order to secure advantage and try to get an opportunity on the opposite side of the field.
Seawolves, as expected, very defensive look here. Matsuoka, his job is to make sure Duncan doesn't make a clean pass to bring it in. And Duncan does bring it in. Finds Mike Mattson on the right side. He'll set up a pick and run to a double team. Mattson hanging out on the right, trying to get free. Now he's going to go approach and shoot wide left. And the Seawolves will win the race to the end line.
Great hustle there by Sabella again, making it known as the freshman Lonstick McGain. Another winning opportunity. He's been excelling at that this contest. And he keeps bringing on that speed for the rest of the season. He is going to be a game changer for Stony Brook like he has been tonight.
St. John's gets a shot off, it misses. Seems to be par for the course tonight.
Yep, that was interesting. Stony Brook defense saw Cassidy in the middle in front of Bollinger. Targeted, that was Mattson. They were double-teaming him, leaving, that was, I think, Willis an open opportunity to try to take a shot, and did, but that was a bouncer past Bollinger.
Pearson has it on the right elbow. 2:36 remaining in OT. Tied at 12, of course.
Yeah, so far Gilardi holding on to his timeout. Doesn't look like he's going to burn it yet. Still have 40 seconds on the clock. We'll see what they set up.
He'll invert. Come out even with the left side. Back to Vangenhoven behind the net. Out front to White. Had trouble with the ball but had some space. They get it to Pikel on the left side. Pikel, now he inverts even with the net. He'll come to the X.
Lottis Johnny's flooding the left side of the cage. We'll see if he tries to target that or maybe turns it to the right.
Out to the right side. Ball knocked free. Gets it back. Nope, still free. Now, Red Storm on the break. They take it away. See how they set up here. Joe Madsen has the ball on the left elbow. They settle in. Cassidy staying on him. Out to Schaefer, about 7 yards outside the box. Estrella coming out to meet him.
Yeah, no timeout, but a 10-second difference between game and shot clock. So Johnny's will have to take a shot. They could hold
Mike
on to
Madsen,
it for as much as they want.
Now to Edney. Edney driving, shoots. Bollinger